Appreciate him singing that song. Take your Bibles this afternoon, if you would. Turn to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. 2 Sundays ago in the afternoon, I preached on the subject matter of purity in the home. And we were over in 1 Peter, I preached on holiness in the home. I preached from over there in 1 Peter, and chapter number 3 there, be holy as I am holy. And as we've been praying, I want to come over to Matthew chapter number 5, and it will be a very pointed message this afternoon. I'm going to preach on purity in the home, and specifically on the secret sins of the mind, which in turn do manifest themselves into the works of the flesh. If you found Matthew chapter number 5, you can remain seated, but I want to look over at verse number 27. And we'll just read verses 27 and 28, our Lord's words on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery already with her already in his heart." It's just 2 short verses. I'm going to read them again. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." I believe probably one of the hardest things that a marriage could ever go through is dealing with adultery. But I do believe that one of the hardest things, second hardest things is that is manifest, that is adultery. But yet when it comes out, that it's not to the point of adultery, but yet the amount of lust and pornography that is running rampant across our nation today. And may I say, not just in the world, but unfortunately, in the homes and in the marriages of those that sit in our churches week after week after week. You say, "Pastor, where is this coming from today?" I told you for a couple months we're preaching on the home, and I believe this is tearing homes apart. I believe the reality of it, and the reason I put the purity of the home and then I put the secret sin of the mind, is because unfortunately most believe that this can just be hid, and it's just something that is thought about. But may I say, according to the Word of God, there's graver consequences than just the thought process. You say, "This is a strange message for a Sunday afternoon." I just believe it needs to be preached, and I believe it needs to be preached right now from what the Holy Spirit of God is speaking in my heart. I believe He settled it. I want to look at what the Scriptures have to say as we approach this subject matter. I want to say that, unfortunately, I don't believe the church is any different than the world when it comes to this. And I believe as we look at it, I believe there's great consideration that needs to be put by every one of us to be able to put these Scriptures up and be able to use that as a mirror to be able to reflect back to us and allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to our hearts. Of things that we're comfortable with, that years gone past we would never have entertained. Things that we allow to be able to go by, even though we may not be comfortable with it, we tolerate it. And we've gotten to the point today in America that we just say that this is a way of life. This is the way that the culture is going. But yet at the same time, we desire to be in a church that will go against what modern culture is desiring for us to do. We will say, but this is the way the world is and churches are going that direction, but I don't want to be a part of a church that's going that direction. But then there's certain things that the world is allowing on a daily basis, and we're saying, oh yeah, but that's just the way it's going. I don't believe we have to do that, nor do I believe that God is pleased with that. I believe the sin that has taken place inside marriages and inside personal lives. And listen, I'm not even just going to deal with the marriages today in relation to this, but young men and young ladies and entire families that this is affecting. But yet I've heard this, and this is what is so disturbing, is that there are wives that know that husbands participate in this and believe that that's just the way that culture is and it has to be accepted. Well, all guys do it. Now, may I say, as we're going to look at the scripture, this is not going to be a male-female thing as we look at the scriptures. I believe this is across our nation and is affecting more than what anybody's willing to admit. The Bible teaches us here the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So God has taken this back, not just to the condition of the heart, but the thought process that an individual have, specifically dealing here with a man that is looking upon a woman to lust after her. May I just do away with the old things that are laughed about and joked about, that it's not the first look that gets you in trouble, it's the second look that you enter into sin. And then they'll usually, to lighten the mood, say, so make sure you have a good long first look. Or it's statements like, it doesn't matter where you get your appetite, just make sure you come home to eat. It does matter. And as we look at the scriptures today, you say, why in the world? Listen, I know it's going to be quiet for all except for right here behind this pulpit. And I'm glad we got a big pulpit this afternoon. Can I say our thought process has to be so honoring and glorifying to the Lord? We'll look into the scriptures, and can I say that this even comes back all the way to even the mannerisms in which someone dresses. That's causing thoughts. You say, but I'm not responsible for what's in someone else's mind. No, but we're going to get back into the book of Proverbs, and it's amazing on how much even the dress of the strange woman is mentioned throughout the book of Proverbs. Because every man and every woman knows how to put clothes on and to walk and to pose in such a way that they're going to be attractive to someone else. The secret sin of the mind. You say, well, this is a man's problem. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands that have ever heard that our pornography problem across America is a man's problem. We've heard that. I believe we're going to look into the scriptures this afternoon and find out it's not just a man's problem, but it's a woman's problem too. You say, well, where does the Bible deal with that? I want to share three thoughts with you. And first of all, we read this here. The Bible says in verse 28 that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her. Number one, I want you to understand that images affect thoughts. I had a preacher down in Tennessee that he told me, he said, Brother Peter, he said, the battle of the mind is one that we will fight from the moment we understand that we're thinking to the moment that we die, we'll deal with thoughts. He said, one time in my life, he said, as a teenager, He said, of course, there was no internet. There's no television. He said, we didn't have any of that. He said, but I was walking along the road, and he said, there was a filthy magazine. Listen, back then it was probably, and you know how many got started, just on the Sears and Roebuck catalog. And he said, there was a dirty magazine laying on the side of the road. Nobody was around. He said, I picked that up. He said, I thumbed through that. He said, I knew it wasn't right. And he said, I threw it away. He said, but I'm telling you, I've been preaching the gospel now for over 40 years. And he said, driving down the road, he said, out of nowhere, he said, I can't remember what I ate for breakfast this morning. He said, but that image will come back. And unfortunately, listen, anything that ever goes into our minds, listen, it is still there, whether we can recall it or not. It is still there. And I found out this, that the devil is a master at bringing thoughts and images back into our minds. And that's why it's so important, according to Paul, over right into the Corinthian church, to be able to bring every thought into captivity, because images will affect our thoughts. You say, yes, men ought not to be looking at that stuff. And can I say this? I say a hearty amen right there. But I want you to take your Bibles, turn back to Ezekiel chapter 23 with me. Ezekiel 23. We have God using two women here as illustrations of Samaria and Jerusalem. He says in verse number 2, Ezekiel 23, Son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother. And I want you to see, we're going to jump down here. We have the first one is Ahola in verse number 4. And then it's Aholibah, her sister. And jump down to verse number 11. We're going to look at the second sister. Now, you would think what happened to the first sister of Samaria and the judgment that God poured out upon Samaria with the Assyrians. Verse number 9 says, wherefore I have delivered her into the hand of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians, upon whom she doted. Over and over we say, why don't you learn from someone else's mistake? I want you to see here, look what it says in verse number 11. And when her sister, Aholibah, saw this, she was more corrupt in her inordinate love than she, and in her whoredoms more than her sister in her whoredoms. She doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors, captains and rulers, clothed gorgeously, horsemen riding upon horses. How many ladies are looking for their knight in shining armor? All of them desirable young men. Then I saw that she was defiled, that they took both one way. Both sisters went down the same road. And that she increased, verse 14, she increased her whoredoms. For when she saw men, now look at this, this is a real sister. This is a real lady. When she saw men portrayed upon the wall. Let me ask you this, is this a man walking down the street? It's an image. When she saw the images, the men portrayed upon the wall, the images of the Chaldeans portrayed with vermilion. That word vermilion just means the dyed in red. You'll see it in the next verse. Girded with girdles upon their loins, exceeding in dyed attire upon their heads. That vermilion deals with the red dye. Dyed attire upon their heads. All of them princes to look to. After the manner of the Babylonians of Chaldea, the land of their nativity. And look at this. And as soon as she saw them with her eyes, she doted upon them and sent messengers unto them in Chaldea. And I read back over in that passage of scripture, and so many times we today, we're saying, but listen, we're dealing with this situation across America, and men ought not to be dealing with that. Listen, long before 2019, Here you have a lady that's looking at images on the wall. Now, can I say this? And I'm trying to be as simple and plain but straightforward as I possibly can. She was not even looking at nakedness that caused her to commit the whoredom. The Bible says here, look at this, in verse number 5, these images of the Chaldeans, it says, girded with girdles upon their loins. It wasn't even complete nakedness that this woman was seeing in the images. You say, well, I'm not looking at naked images. It doesn't matter. You start looking at them walking by in their Speedo or their bikini, and guess what? It's still not right with God. You say, at least they had some clothes on. Committing whoredoms. And it started with a woman looking at images on the wall of young men, but yet they were girded with girdles upon their loins. You say, I'm not going as far as looking at all that nakedness. Listen, it's not just not having any clothes on, but it is the skimpiness of the clothes and worn in such a way. I'm sure these images were painted in such a way to be provocative. And you know as well as I do that images create thoughts. And now she's looking at it and she's starting to say, hey, look at them. How many have ever found out that reality is not the same as fantasy? And they never look like the pictures. That's fantasy land. It's fantasy. But yet it's destroying young men, young ladies, older men, older ladies, families, marriages. You know why? It's all starting with an image that's causing a thought. And you say, well, I've not done one physical act as of yet. You say, and I'd never go that far. It is amazing. Not just do images affect thoughts, but can I say thoughts lead to actions? You say, I'm not hurting anybody, it's just me. Thoughts lead to actions. Let's keep reading Ezekiel chapter 23. Bible says, verse 16, we read it, and as soon as she saw them with her eyes, she doted upon them and sent messengers unto them into Chaldea. And the Babylonians came to her into the bed of love, and they defiled her with the whoredom, and she was polluted with them, and her mind was alienated from them. So she discovered her whoredoms and discovered her nakedness. Then my mind was alienated from her, like as my mind was alienated from her sister. That's the Lord speaking. You say images affect thoughts, but it's just affecting me. I would never take action on any of this. Can I say, if time permitted, we could have men and ladies from across our nation that I believe of their own fruition, their own willingness, would stand up and say, you know something, it started with an image that led to a thought, and a thought became an action. And it's usually things like this, that if Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that if you have looked upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her. Well, if I've thought it, then I might as well do it. It's wickedness. You say, well, I'm not involved in pornography. I'm not looking at nakedness across our nation. I'm not searching that stuff out. But I wonder how much of it is let before us. And we don't do a thing about it. And we're entertained by it. We allow it into our houses. And now we've gotten to the point, and here's where the danger is, they don't even need to know. And it's all right there. Do you understand the tool that most people have in their hands right now can in a moment break every ounce of fellowship that you have with our Savior? Every bit of it. Now, what you say, but there's some things we just can't help it. It's everywhere. Listen, if I know it's somewhere, guess what? I'm not going to go there. If there's certain billboards driving down the road that are advertising, listen, I may have to drive that road, but I don't have to be looking that direction. And if there's any other possibility, listen, take a different road. You say, that's just crazy. Listen, I believe we ought to put up every guard we possibly can, because it all starts with an image and it all leads to a thought, and thoughts lead to actions. And she walks in, listen, she had the example of her sister. She saw what happened. You say, well, I've seen that destroy a family and I'd never go that direction. Yeah, my father was a drunkard, and because of that, I'll never go that direction. And how many of them end up going the exact same direction? We don't learn from examples all the time. We don't learn from previous judgments. We don't learn from previous lives that have been destroyed. Her own sister went down this way. Listen, this is symbolic, and it's the illustration of Jerusalem, the Bible says, and Samaria, and Jerusalem being the people of God is looking at Samaria, the outcast, and what they went through, and Jerusalem followed suit. In fact, not just followed suit, but the Bible says were more and increased their whoredoms. And looking at this sister right here, she went further than her sister, even though she saw the destruction. Even so, she understood what was taking place and what it cost her sister. It still went further. Now listen, look at the life that this ends up in. The Bible says that she saw this, and you say, well, that's just an image that created a thought, and I'm not hurting anybody. Yes, you are. You are hurting your own soul. You are hurting your marriage. You are hurting your family. You're hurting your parents. You're setting your wife up. You're setting your husband up as a standard that they will never be able to live up to. It's just some harmless pictures by myself. No, it is not. If you are a child of God, then the Holy Spirit of God is living inside of you, and you are causing the Holy Spirit to be partaker of those images. And listen, I guarantee he's trying to turn away. But in lives, week after week, and day after day after day, you say, but it's just something I can't get over. Yeah, but you're unwilling to say, I'm addicted. She saw images. It led to actions. She puts the calls out. She said, I want those men that I'm seeing on those images right there. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. Now listen, she got what she wanted, but then look what happened afterwards. Listen, images affect thoughts, and thoughts affects actions. And these actions lead to destruction. You say, but I fell in love with them. Can I say this? And it's awfully interesting. And there's the statistics across America to be able to back this up. If you start cheating and committing adultery, I'm amazed why people are so surprised when the person that they committed adultery with, they end up getting married to, and then they're surprised that they committed adultery on them. Now hold on, you met them and committed adultery, and he hasn't changed his spots, she hasn't changed her spots. And she committed adultery on the first spouse with you, and then you wonder why you lose her or lose him, because they committed adultery on you. It all comes back to images affecting thoughts, and thoughts affecting actions. And there's people that would give testimony, I never thought that I would do what I did. But then you say, oh, it's a wonderful life after that. And boy, it's just satisfying to the flesh. And boy, I can get right with God afterwards. Listen, we're not supposed to have sin abounding that grace may abound. No. We get rid of that. Because look at this. The Bible says, look at verse number 17. She got what she wanted. And the Babylonians came to her into the bed of love, and they defiled her with their whoredom, and she was polluted with them. And then look at this. And her mind was alienated from them. It's amazing that the flesh got what it wanted, and then it was sick of it. And you're useless to him. She got what she wanted. I don't believe it was as satisfying as what she thought. Didn't care for him one bit. You say, oh, he loves me. She loves me. Not just by physical actions is love proven. In fact, I believe love is more shown a lot of times by restraint than it is by participating. And after this all took place, it started with an image, led to the thoughts that she's meditating on, led to the actions of, hey, I want them. Now listen, you know as well as I do, they probably painted those young men with those loins girt about in such a way, they probably had a six pack, probably had an eight pack, I mean whatever, I mean the thigh muscle, everything to the T. And then they showed up and she's like, yeah, that's not what I expected. Can I say the destruction that follows? You say, but I'd never do that. I pray you wouldn't. There's nothing worse than having to go talk with a husband and wife that she just committed adultery. Nothing worse than to see the heartache inside of a family of cheating that's taken place. You say, well, I've participated in that. You have no idea how much you're hurting someone. Can I say, outside of hurting those that are closest to you, how much you're defiling your soul before God Almighty? And the purity in our homes, if God would have looked down and He would have been able to, I don't know, just illuminate some way with infrared on the impurities that is in someone's home. Listen, I don't care where you're hiding it. I know that the preaching used to always be about magazines, but I'm not talking about just the phone. I'm talking about the magazines. I'm talking about the internet. I'm talking about going by the gas stations, that lady or that man at work. And it is unbelievable. Listen, I'm talking about sitting down and you watching what you call reality television. There ain't nothing real about that. It is staged. Listen, I love hunting shows, okay? I love it. But I'm amazed. I know a guy that, and his name's Chad Shear. And he came to our church down in Tennessee, and he's a big game hunter. He's an article writer in some of these outdoor magazines. I'm amazed at how many times, in its reality, they'll reenact him sitting there with his gun for four different times to make sure they get the right shot. They've already shot the deer 45 minutes ago, but need to go sit back down and make sure they get the shot and what angle they want to be able to show it. I'm like, there ain't nothing real about that. You want reality, show them missing five times. And going home empty. That'd be my reality. I think there ain't nothing reality. Listen, ladies, sit at home all day looking at those images. And you know what? Listen, the devil's planting that thought in your mind. Look at that perfect husband right there. Every hair is always in place. You ever notice in any of those, there's never a pair of dirty socks on the floor? I shouldn't say there's never a pair of dirty socks because I don't watch them. Everything's perfect. They wake up in the morning. I mean, their breath is perfect. Everything's wonderful. And they're living in fantasy land. And ladies sit there day after day after day soaking that up, saying, why can't my husband be like 10 o'clock? And all of a sudden an image starts leading to a thought. Can I say this? The devil will make sure someone comes along that's looking just like that 10 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden some thoughts are leading to actions, and it is amazing the destruction that follows. Now listen, it's across our nation. It's in our homes. It is affecting men. It is affecting ladies. And it is not glorifying to God. And you say, well, I'm just watching videos. They still got clothes on. It's just bathing suits. Yeah, they were girded with girdles upon their loins too. And look what it led to. You say, but I'm stronger than that. Yeah, these were God's people in Jerusalem too. And the purity in the home, the secret sins of the minds, and God bringing judgment upon His people because of the whoredoms that they were committing. May I say this? You will not have the power of God upon your life when it's those things that are running around in your mind. Look what the Bible says over in Proverbs. Turn over to Proverbs chapter number 5. Do you know, as Solomon speaking to his son, that there is more said throughout here about warning about the strange woman than almost any other subject matter in the book of Proverbs? I want to talk to you about the destruction that comes. Look what it says. Verse number 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Look at verse number 9. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. That last phrase, and thy years unto the cruel. Do you understand in the direct context of this scripture? It is dealing with for years to come. That man that goes down to the strange woman, and there is an affair, there is adultery, there is sin, whatever it may be. The years to come. You say, oh no, they got it right. Listen, can I give you a personal example? There was a pastor friend of ours. When we first started deputation and we were traveling, we had no idea the 2 years that we knew him was carrying on an affair with a lady in the church. It finally came out because he left his wife, picked her up, started going down the road. About 2 hours down the road, he come to his senses and said, what in the world am I doing? Dropped her off on the side of the road. Oh, they were in so much love, weren't they? Go ahead and get dropped off on the side of the road 2 hours away from home. Drove back home, went into his wife. They got things right. Listen, God kept them married. But listen to me. Till the day he died. You talk about your years being given to the cruel. Till the day he died. That was his testimony. till the day he died. You say they'll just forget about it and be able to move on. Give your years unto the cruel. Look what it says in verse number 10. Let strangers be filled with thy wealth. You know, I looked down through there and I just wondered if that was maybe applicable to alimony. Let strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Everything you work for, given to someone else that you don't even know. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. I wonder what diseases are being talked about. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. They told me not to do it. And look what it cost them. Now, can I say this? I have no idea what's going on in your phone. I have no idea what's going on in your home with your internet, with your television. You say, oh, I change it as soon as that comes on. That picture can be there less than a second. It's already in your mind. It's already there. Images affect thoughts. Thoughts lead to actions. Actions lead to destruction. Pureness on the outside doesn't mean everything's all right on the inside. And I just wonder if the very thoughts that we have, maybe even while sitting in a church service, would be showing up on the screen. I wonder how embarrassed we'd be. While in a church service. I don't think that ought to be our entertainment. I don't think you ought to be hiding anything from your parents, your husband, your wife. I wonder what I'd do if my kids walked in. Would you have to change it real quick? Because they might find you. God's already seeing it. Can I just admonish us today? And listen, I'm going to say that I'm not even going to give a come forward invitation. Unless the Lord just convicts your heart. You need to find your place at the altar, and it may be you need to confess to the church because there's sin. And get it right and move on. But I'm saying this. I believe we better be watching. You say, oh, I'm an old man. That doesn't affect me. Well, I'll just refer you back to our grandfather. I ain't dead yet. That's what it'd say. That was after my grandmother passed away. We better have things in place to protect the purity of our minds. Protect the purity of our homes. The secret sin of the mind. I don't know where it's at today. You know where it's at. God's convicting your heart. You do business with the Lord. You don't have to do it here. At this altar. You say, I'm not going down there. And everybody's... No, I think sometimes we just need to say, God, I'm not involved in that. God, would you help me? Can I say this? And this is the sad part. It would not shock me. Unfortunately, we're getting past the point of being surprised. And everybody that's ever been a pastor, been in ministry, understands exactly what I'm saying right now.
you get past the point of being surprised of someone saying, this is what I've been doing. You get past it. Because it's so prevalent. And I just believe that God deserves our minds to be Philippians 4:8. I believe He deserves for it to be Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I believe He deserves for it to be 1 Corinthians, that we're bringing every thought into captivity. I believe He deserves that, listen, God's faithful, that we have every way to be able to escape from temptation. If you're a child of God, listen, I'm telling you, there'll be a way of escape. And you can either look for it or ignore it. Either way. Or we can think on these things, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy. That means we can control what we think about. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's the message. We're responsible between us and God. Let's pray. Father, we love You. But Lord, I pray in our lives each and every day. Lord, it's those secret sins. Secret sins of the mind. Lord, it is destroying homes. Lord, I don't believe that a wife just needs to understand that that's the way things are. I don't believe a husband ought to just say, well, just part of being a man. I don't think a wife needs to be saying, if my husband was just like that man on the television, then I could submit to him. Lord, I don't believe that's how it needs to be. Lord, each and every one of us that are married, it's the exact person that You desire for us to spend the remainder of our lives together. Lord, I pray that we'd be so satisfied with You, so satisfied with our helpmeet. Lord, we don't need anything else. Lord, I pray for our young people. Lord, it's not just the way that young people are. They can live holy. Lord, I pray for the parents that are doing their best to be able to put those guidelines in place. But Lord, we can have all of that there, but if their heart's not with You, they'll find a way around it. Lord, there's not one seated here today in this building that's immune to it. Lord, I just pray that we'd be righteous and holy before You. Lord, may we guard our thoughts. May we not be putting any wicked thing before our eyes. May those images, Lord, they're not glorifying to You. May our actions, in word or deed, be all to the glorifying of God. Because, Lord, it cost way too much for years to come if we're not right with You. And we yield to it. Thank You for Your love to us. Thank You for the Bible. Thank You so much for laying it out for us. I'm so thankful You love us so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.